You have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to the book of John in chapter 8. John in chapter 8. We are on a mission to get through the chapter 8 of John. It's been taxing. It's a long chapter, and it's a long debate that Christ is having with the Jewish people. And it lasts for several verses here. And so we're going to look at that this morning. John in chapter 8, remember, we're just coming out of the Feast of Tabernacles. Even though we preached on that a long time ago, it seems like here in our text, it's not far from that. So we understand that before we get into this morning, Christ has about six months left to live. And so this conversation that he's having with the Jews is a pretty lengthy one at that. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 8, 25 through 30. 25 through 30. If you're there, say amen. Let's listen to the Word of God for just a moment. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning in the name of your Son, asking, Lord, that as we look at this text, Lord, that it would truly penetrate the hearts of those that are here, whether saved or whether lost. It doesn't matter. Lord, I pray this morning that your word would go forth and that it would not return void. We pray that in Jesus' name this morning. Lord, that those that have hard hearts that are here this morning, that your word, Lord, would touch them and for the first time allow them to feel the truth of sin. Lord, just as Bobby prayed for them to have ears to hear with, I pray the same. Lord, help their ears not to be stopped with the outward workings of the law. Help them not to be stopped up with foolishness, Lord, but help them to be able to hear, truly hear, what you have to say this morning. Lord, I love you and I thank you for this text this morning. I ask that you'd bless it to those that are in attendance. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our text this morning finds us here with the tabernacle very close by, or the Feast of Tabernacles very close by, and we're still going through this chapter. It's a continuance from the beginning of chapter 8 where the woman that was caught in adultery comes in, and Christ is having a pretty long discussion with those that are gathered here in attendance listening to him. We're going to begin there in 25. We see in 20 where Christ was speaking these things in the treasury. A couple of weeks ago I passed out a map and I showed you where the treasury was at in the temple. Everybody remember that? Yes. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Amen. All right, so we know that Christ was still in the same place and he's talking, and like I said, this lasts on through about 59. And we're going to look at 25 this morning. Keep in mind where he is at. The title of my sermon, which I don't do often, but it's The Exalted Sacrifice. And that's what it's going to be about today, The Exalted Sacrifice. When I say The Exalted Sacrifice, I believe that we know what that means. It means the sacrifice that's been elevated, the lifted up sacrifice. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. Verse 25, it says, Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. But they ask him, Who art thou? This morning, as we look at our text, are you still asking the same question, Who art thou? The people here, they ask the question, who art thou? And how many times does Jesus have to come back and reiterate the point that he is the Son of God? He continues to come back and he continues to tell them, I am the Son of God. Listen to what he says in John 5 and 17. My Father worketh hitherto and I work. John 5, 36. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. John 6, 35. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Christ, through his teachings over and over, tells them very clearly that he and the Father are one, that he was sent by the Father, that he is the Son of the Father. John 7, 37 and 38, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that who has ever went to a person to drink from them? Okay, this is what Christ is saying. He's saying, I am the living water. If you come unto me, you will have rivers of water flowing out of your belly. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Christ is saying, I am that rock that the water flowed from. John 8 and 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. From the time of the beginning of Christ Jesus' ministry on this earth, he began to declare who he was, who he is, because he still is. He began to declare to the people that he truly is the Son of God. But look at the text. It says in verse 25, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. And it's just not from the beginning of his ministry, ladies and gentlemen, but we have to understand this, and we have to take Scripture as a whole and look at Scripture as a whole and see that not only is he talking about the beginning of his ministry, where the Father declared that he was pleased and well pleased in the Son, not only do we see where Christ's miracles bore witness that he was the Son of God and his teaching bore witness that he was the Son of God, because never a man spake like him, but we see from the very beginning of time, from the very creation of the world, the literal beginning, that he is declaring who he is, leaving the people without excuse. What did he tell Moses on the backside of the desert? I am that I am. Who came and visited Abraham and preached the gospel to Abraham in the heat of the day? Christ Jesus. All the way back, all the way to the beginning, we see that the Lord has been declaring the glory of the Son and him as that sacrifice all the way from the beginning. And so when Christ comes here and he says, even from the beginning, we see that, yes, he is talking about his public ministry, but all the way back, the ancestors of these that he was speaking to, he declared it to them as well. 2,000 years later, we are still declaring who the Son of God is, leaving us and leaving those under the sound of the preaching of the gospel, leaving them without excuse. Christ comes over and as I look at Christ and as I see him continuing to tell the people who he was, I see great mercy and I see great patience in him. He is a God of patience and he is a God of mercy. For him to continue to tell the people who he is, we see that his patience is long lasting. But how long will his patience last is the question. Let's move on. Verse 26, it says, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Christ here, he comes to the people, he says, I have plenty to say and to judge of you, but the reason why I have been sent is to bear witness unto the truth. And this is my work. This is the thing that I am called to. Christ's mission was to do the Father's will and to bear witness unto the truth. And this is what he's telling the people here. And in bearing witness of the truth, Christ taught the truths to the world. And that's what 26 is saying. He didn't just teach them to the Jew, but he taught them to the Samaritans as well, the Gentiles. He taught them to the Jew and the Gentiles. Listen to what he told Pilate, and I love this passage of scripture because it speaks volumes. Jesus told Pilate in John 18 and 37, it says, "Thou sayest that I am a king." He says, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." The problem with the ones that Christ was speaking to is they were not of the truth because they were not hearing his voice. Verse 26, he says, "I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." And 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Christ is telling the people, and he tells them over and over and over, and he's reiterating this point. And he brings about all these different examples to explain who he is. And the people are still clueless. They're clueless, man. I mean, they are completely clueless. Why didn't they understand Christ? We went over this on Wednesday night, and our text in John brings it back out. They didn't understand Christ. They didn't understand who he was or who the Father was because they were dead. They were dead in their sins and their iniquities and their trespasses. They couldn't hear his voice because they didn't have ears to hear with. I about shouted just a minute ago when Bobby prayed that. Give us ears to hear with. Because he didn't know what I'd be preaching on this morning. Give us ears to hear with, O Lord. The people there, they didn't have ears to hear with. They couldn't hear his voice because their ears had not been cut on to where they could hear. They were calloused over and they were stopped up. They were filled up. Listen to what John 18 and 37 says. I just read it. "Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Turn over to John 10 real quick. It's just one or two pages over John 10. Listen to what it says in 10, 26 and 27. I love this passage as well because it speaks volumes to this very topic. But listen to what it says. John chapter 10, 26 and 27. He tells the people there, he says, "But ye believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Why? Because they are his sheep. Why? Because they have ears to hear with. Stephen in Acts in chapter 7 and 51 tells the people. He tells the people right there at the end of his sermon before they stone him to death. He looks at the people and he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and in ears. You do always resist the truth, even as your fathers did, so do you." And why? Why? Because they didn't have ears to hear with. They were stiff-necked. In other words, they wouldn't bow their head to him. They wouldn't humbly submit to the King of Glory. So they wouldn't bow. They were stiff-necked. They were hard of heart, and they were hard in their ears. They were obstinate. Anybody know what obstinate means? Anybody? Whoo! They were stubborn, weren't they? They were obstinate. Like a bunch of mules. They didn't know what was good for them. Stubborn. Obstinate. In the book, The Pilgrim's Progress, and I love the book. It's a wonderful book. There was a young man by the name of Obstinate. Christian, the man that the book was about, he was on his way on a journey, and he had a burden on his back to the celestial city. And as he traveled, he went and he left the city of destruction to go to the celestial city. And on his way there, before he got into the pond of despondency, he ran across a young man, two young men, one by the name of Pliable and the other by the name of Obstinate. They ask him, they say, Christian, why are you leaving? Why are you leaving the city where you grew up at? Don't you know that we grew up there as well? Why are you leaving your friends? Why are you leaving your family? Why are you searching after this city? Obstinate then, he comes after Christian, and he's determined to have his way. He's determined to take Pliable and to take Christian back to the city of destruction with him. He didn't want to hear anything that Christian had to say. He didn't want to hear anything that Christian was speaking about. He did not want to go the way of the celestial city, but he wanted to go back into the city of destruction. Obstinate. See, obstinate was hard-hearted. Obstinate did not have any ears to hear with. He had closed himself off to the gospel, to the preaching of it. He had closed himself off to deliverance. He didn't want to have nothing to do with it. And ladies and gentlemen, this morning, we must pray for those that are obstinate. And you know them. You know them. You know them too well. You know who they are. Those that have completely shut themselves off to the gospel. Those that are trying to drag other people in the city of destruction with them. Those obstinate folks we must pray for. But obstinate was determined to have his own way and to take along with him whoever he could. The people that Christ Jesus was talking to this morning in our text, that's exactly who they were for the most part. Church, we must pray for these. Christ knows them. And he knows whether they will be in heaven or not, but we don't. We don't have the option of not bringing these obstinate folks to the throne of God and lifting them up in prayer. We don't have an option. We can't say, well, let's just not fool with them. We must lift them up in prayer to the Lord. Listen to what it says. Everybody got their maps that Canaan passed out? Everybody got them? If you don't have one, raise your hand. People got them? You don't have one? I know, but you know what I'm talking about. All right. Just keep them there, and I'll get to them here in just a second. Listen to what verse 28 says. Then said Jesus unto them, and he's fixing to speak volumes now. I want y'all to listen to this. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Let's remember where Christ was at. He was speaking in the temple. Y'all pick up your maps. And now this one doesn't show the court of women too well. It's going to be on the right side of your page, and it's going to be cut off there. But the last time we spoke of the court of women and where Christ was speaking there in the treasury. And this is where Christ would have been at according to Scripture. The Feast of Tabernacles had just ended, and Christ is standing in the temple in the court of women. I'm going to get it out here in a second. In the court of women, debating with the people. This is the same area where he said, I am the light of the world. As he references the Feast of Tabernacles and the giant lights that had been put up in the court of women. Y'all remember the giant candelabra that they put up 75 feet high that lit up the whole city of Jerusalem as if it was day. That was in the treasury. This is where Christ is at. If we go back a couple of days in Scripture during the feast, we will see Christ as he stands up on the last great day of the feast. As the priests were pouring out the water libation or the water offering unto the Lord, they poured it out on top of the great altar. Look at your page for just a moment. It should be right in the center of the page. You'll see the great altar. You see the great altar? Say amen if you see it. All right, on top of that altar was a funnel where they would pour out the water and they would pour out the blood, and they would pull out the wine offerings and all of that onto and into the altar. But on that great day and the last day of the feast, Christ Jesus stood up as they were doing the water ceremony, the pouring out of the water, and he exclaims to the people. He stands up and he shouts it out, if any man thirst, Let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We know from our study of John that the water offering made by the priests pointed forward to the time that the Messiah would pour out the Holy Spirit. All right? We understand that. We know that. We looked at that. It pointed forward to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit by the Messiah. We also know that the great lights that were lifted up during the feast pointed forward to the lights of life that Christ Jesus or the Messiah would bring in. And so we see that the water and we see that the lights both pointed to the Messiah, the coming Messiah, coming into the world as a light unto the Jew and unto the Gentile. With the Feast of Tabernacles this morning as our backdrop, as we look at this text and as we see the Feast of Tabernacles as our backdrop and Christ teaching in the very place that the great lights were erected, and he's teaching there, we see him telling the people, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. You say, Brother Matthew, what does this have anything to do with Christ? What does it have to do with the Feast of Tabernacles? What does it have to do with him being in the temple? Everything. It has everything to do with it. Because you see, the place where Christ Jesus was speaking of was within eyeshot of the great sacrifice altar. The great altar of sacrifice. He was within eyeshot of it. Matter of fact, it would have been just to his left. Or that would have been your guys' left. And so Christ is saying, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. What is Christ telling the people in our text this morning? He is saying that I am the exalted sacrifice. This is what he's saying. I am the exalted sacrifice. Christ's words are not just referring to him being lifted up at Calvary on the cross. This is important. If you got a pen, you need to write it down. Because people say, well, he's referring directly to Calvary. And yes, he is. I would concur with that. He is. He is absolutely pointing to the work that was done at Calvary when he was lifted up on the cross. But Christ's words are also referring to all the Old Testament sacrifices in the tabernacle and in the temple that were offered. You say, well, what do you mean? We're going to look at that. Listen to me. He's referring to the being lifted up at the cross. He's referring to all the Old Testament sacrifices, tabernacle and temple both. Christ is also referring to the brazen serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness. Y'all remember when he told Nicodemus that in John in chapter 3. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Y'all remember that passage of Scripture? John chapter 3. Christ speaks here about the cross, yes, but he is also talking about the brazen altar, where fire consumed the sacrifice offered by the priests. This is completely significant to what we're looking at this morning. The brazen altar is the place where, if you look at your map that I give you, the brazen altar there is, and when it came to the temple, the thing was huge. I mean, it was absolutely huge. The base of the altar in the temple was 48 by 48 by 48 by 48 feet. That's how big this was. There was a ramp that went up to the top of the altar. That ramp ascended 9 feet. It was a 9-foot ramp that ascended up, and it was like 24 feet wide by 48 feet then long. This place was the place where the Jews were allowed to come in to bring their lambs to be sacrificed. They came through the front gate and came to the altar first, and this is where they got to first, this brazen altar. When they came through the gate, they would bring their lamb to be sacrificed, and we know from Scripture that they would place their hands on its head, symbolizing the sins transferred to the lamb, and then the priest then would take that lamb. And something significant happened after they would take that lamb away from the ones that brought it in. They would take that lamb who was carrying the sins of the people, and then they would ascend with that lamb. You say, well, what do you mean? They would ascend. They would become exalted. They would take the lamb and then they would walk up or ascend up to the elevated or lifted up altar. Okay, now, guys, I want you to listen. This is important and critical that you see this, because Christ is not just talking about the cross. So the lamb would be lifted up on this exalted altar, and the brazen altar, it was elevated. It was made the sacrifice. The sacrifice was placed on top of that altar, and the priest would walk up this ramp, and they would take that sacrifice, and then they would exalt it on top of that altar. And that would be the focal point for those that offered the sacrifice. They would look to that lamb that was burning on top of that brazen altar. They would look up to that lamb that was burning on top of that brazen altar, and they would look there for their hope of redemption. The brazen altar was elevated. They were to look up to the sacrifice and keep their eyes on the sacrifice. Leviticus 9 and 22. If you got a pen, write it down. Leviticus 9 and 22 speaks directly to this, and Aaron and his work as he ascended and as he came down off of that altar. Leviticus 9 and 22 speaks directly to this. Verse 22. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the peoples and blessed them. And then the next part of this, it says, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering, and the peace offering. So in other words, for Aaron to come down, he had to first ascend. You understand what I'm telling you? And so Aaron would have taken that offering, he would have sent it up that ramp going up to the top of that sacrifice, or the top of that altar where then he would place the sacrifice. This is all relevant. The key is, listen to me, the key is the altar was elevated, which made the sacrifice elevated. Everybody following me so far? Say amen, please, if you follow me. Don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate now. Y'all need to follow me on this. So not only is he talking about the cross, yes, but not only is he talking about the brazen altar, yes, but he's also talking about the serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness. It was lifted up or exalted by Moses and Aaron. You remember the story. The people had rebelled against God, and so he sent fiery serpents into the camp, and those that were bitten by the serpents, they were dying, and they were dying by the droves, and all they had to do was look up to the brazen serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 21 and 8, it says, and it came to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. This is what Christ is talking about in John in chapter 3. This is what he's also talking about in John in chapter 8. This is what it was saying in Numbers. We see Christ in John chapter 3, and he tells Nicodemus the very same thing. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. As Christ stands in the temple debating with the people, he says in our text, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Notice your map this morning that I passed out to you. Pick it up. Look at it. Look at the great altar. Do you see where it says ascending up the altar on it? You see that? Does everybody see that? Say amen. Please say amen to me. All right. There was a reason why it was ascended up. And the whole purpose was that they had to look up to the sacrifice. They looked up to the sacrifice as the fires consumed it. And they looked up to the sacrifice, begging and pleading with God through blood that he would take away their sins. And so Christ comes here and he's debating with the people. And he says, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Where Christ is saying this in reference in the temple to where the brazen altar was within eyeshot. Guys, it was just right next to him. He wasn't just talking about Calvary, and he wasn't just talking about the serpent, but he was talking about this brazen altar, and where everything would come down to where he would be sacrificed, where divine judgment would be poured out on him. And this is what he was saying. He is saying, I am the exalted sacrifice. This idea of the exalted sacrifice was common knowledge, unlike it is for you and me today. See, the Jews knew what he was talking about when he says, when you see the Son of Man lifted up. They knew that he was referring to not only the story of Aaron and Moses in the wilderness, but also the sacrifice that was lifted up. And so Christ has got a lot of different things going on here, and he's telling the people. He tells them, he says, then I will be lifted up by the Jewish religious elite. Remember in the Old Testament, it was Moses and Aaron that lifted up the sacrifice, the priests. Remember in the Old Testament, with the tabernacle and with the temple, it was the Levites who were responsible, the priests who were responsible for lifting up the sacrifice. And so we see that on Mount Calvary, we see when Christ Jesus comes, it was the priests and it was the Pharisees that nailed him to the cross. It wasn't just the Romans. They were just puppets for doing what the Pharisees wanted them to do. But the Pharisees, the obstinate, the hard-hearted, those that would not listen to the gospel, they nailed our Savior to the cross. They nailed him there and they exalted him up on high. When they should have been looking at him the whole time, they weren't. One look to the Savior. One look up to the Savior. In the Old Testament, for the serpent that was lifted up, it was healing for those that were bitten by the snake. And today it still stands. One look to the Savior. For those that have been bitten by Satan, the serpent, those that have been bitten by sin, one look to the Savior, one look to the exalted sacrifice, it will bring healing. And this is exactly what John the Baptist says in John 1 and 29. He says, behold, the Lamb of God, the exalted sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world. He is pointing his disciples to look off to Jesus Christ, to look off to the Lamb that has been butchered at Mount Calvary, to look off to the Lamb that has been lifted up on top of the altar. John the Baptist is saying, look off to the exalted one. Jesus is saying the very same thing. When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He. Guys, this morning I'm done and I want you to listen to what I'm telling you. This morning I tell you the exact same thing. Look up to the exalted sacrifice. Look up and live. Look up for salvation. Look up to the one that has been elevated. Look up to the one that hangs there between God and man. The man God, Christ Jesus. Look up to him and live. Let's pray.